Good morning, everybody. Why don't you go ahead and find your way to your seats. I want to tag along with what Jory already said this morning. I want to wish all you moms out there a happy Mother's Day, and we are thankful to our moms, for our moms, and Mother's Day is an awesome thing, and God obviously knew what he was doing when he made moms, and we're very thankful. So this morning, I wonder what your answer was to the question, if moms got paid, let's just be very clear, for being moms, okay? There's a lot of moms who get paid for doing stuff other than mom stuff. They're out there, you know, helping keep things afloat and all that kind of stuff. But if moms got paid simply for being moms, what should they get paid? In fact, I think there's two websites who come out with a survey every year on this, and there's one this year. If there's a mom who works both as a stay-at-home mom or whatever, but they kind of group it up saying, well, moms kind of, you know, they do lots of things. They can act like, you know, an accountant. They can act like a counselor. They can act like all these other things. And so, you know, guys, if you're ready for this, if you're looking to compensate your wife for the mom duties that she does, it's looking at setting you back around $143,000 when you count in base pay and overtime pay and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to go to Proverbs 31 this morning where he says, a wife of noble character, who can find? And in that context and in that culture, you didn't really have many wives who weren't moms, and so you could easily just dovetail right in there. A mom of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies, though there may be some moms out there saying, I'd take rubies. Rubies are cool. I'd take rubies. But at the end of that passage in verse 28, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so we want to honor moms this morning, but we know not everybody in the room is a mom, and really we're not here for ourselves, are we? We've gathered here in the name of Jesus to honor him and to worship him. And so while we want to be thankful for moms, we're going to kind of share some verses this morning that I think are some timely words for mom. But there's always a challenge when you're a pastor and you're getting up to speak to not only speak to moms and about moms, but to speak to the rest of us too, because in honesty, while we may be thankful for mom, some of us maybe either have a strained relationship with mom, or maybe mom's no longer around, and so Mother's Day can be a hard day, a challenging day, but a good day nonetheless. And so I hope to have some words for all of us here this morning. There's a verse I want us to kind of go to this morning in Romans chapter 15 that I think is appropriate for moms. And for all of us, so I'm going to read this. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask God to help us today and be our teacher in his time and in his word. So, God, we are very thankful for moms. Lord, even if our moms weren't perfect or really maybe did some things that we wish they could have done differently, at the same time, we're here. You've given us life through them. And in a very real way, we give thanks to you for that gift, and we honor you as the giver of all good things. God, many of us cherish moms, the moms that you've given us. And many of us Father, even mourn the loss of a mom. And this is a special day to remember the blessing and the impact that moms have had in our lives. And Lord, we also look to you this morning, and we pray that as we speak a timely word, hopefully out of your word, for moms and the stresses and the challenges that they face, whether their kids are, you know, in diapers or stretching their wings to head out into the world. God, for all of us in between, we pray that you would speak to us from this morning, because we all need hope. We need joy, and we need peace, and we need that in an overflowing measure from your Spirit. And so we pray now that you would help us to focus on you and to hear from you this morning, because this book that we're going to is not just another book. It is your word, and it's your word to us this morning. So speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so in that passage in Romans chapter 15, those three words are the words that obviously come up. It's a benediction, if you will. He's speaking a word of blessing, and he's saying, calling for hope and joy and peace is to flood and to fill and to overflow out of their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to take a look at those three concepts throughout Scripture a little bit, a couple of verses on it, and see how they need to be evident. If you're a mom, I think this is especially appropriate for you, but for any of us. So first one is peace. That word peace is a reality that we need to understand can be experienced and not just longed for. How many moms pray for peace in any given day? Okay, yeah, I got one witness over there. I know for certain, okay? Peace is a reality that can be experienced and not just longed for, but peace seems to be an increasingly rare experience in our society, no matter what your station or walk in life might be. I looked online even just this morning, and since 1988, so this is a study over some amount of time, but the prescription for antidepressant drugs has gone up 400% from 1988 till today. Now, antidepressants are used to treat a lot of different things, often for anxiety, not just depression. Sometimes they're linked, sometimes not. And this is not a statement against the use of prescription drugs in their appropriate context and that kind of thing. But what I'm saying is, isn't it interesting? You know, you can't really argue against a four-fold increase in the use of a particular prescription. Anxiety is a very common reality in modern life. I think you just look at kids even, and all of our lives, and anxiety is a very common reality. And living with it doesn't really feel much like living, does it? I mean, have you carried a burden of anxiety lately over anything? But living with anxiety doesn't really feel much like living. It feels like existing, and sometimes you don't want to exist. Not that you have a suicidal wish, but sometimes you're just like, Lord, this stinks. But peace is a reality that can be experienced, not just longed for. God wants us. Listen to that verse again. You don't have to go back to it on the screen if it's already been passed. But it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. God's plan, God's wish, if you will, and desire for our lives is that our hearts would be filled with peace, not anxiety, but filled with peace, overflowing through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. You may have heard these verses before, but he says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. And that God says our hearts, our minds can be kept at peace as they are steadfast, trusting in him and looking to him. Later on in the book of Isaiah, he says this. God says, so do not fear, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in the midst of life, and you know, the people of God in this situation were going through terrible circumstances as a result, much to the point of their own choices and their own sin, and they're experiencing the consequences of it. Yet God, even allowing those consequences to come, is doing so in a redeeming way that he might do something in them and through them. And in the midst of that path, he says, don't be afraid. Why? It's not some just kind of blind statement of just don't be fearful, it's not helpful, you know, or some sort of like psychological self-help stuff like that. That the antidote and the answer for not having fear is the presence of God. That the real crux of how we experience peace, that it's something we can experience and not just long for, is the very presence of God. Which is why if we fast forward to the New Testament, and the reason I went to the Old Testament first, because as I want you to see, this is a thread. If I went through and said all the times when God spoke peace into his people's hearts, we would be here all morning and beyond. The New Testament, the Apostle Paul said this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But he says again, the answer to anxiety, the answer to the fear, he says, do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, run to the presence of God through prayer. Find peace in his presence, peace that transcends understanding. It doesn't make sense that if you look at life through the lens of circumstances, there should not be peace. But if you look at life through the lens of God and his presence and his plans for you, it's a reality that can be experienced. And so peace is something you can know. And how do you experience it then? Well, let me just say a couple of simple things. Don't seek it for itself, because you'll probably never find it. If you just keep going and going and going after God for a fixing of your anxiety, you may never find peace. I want to put to you this morning that I think peace is a byproduct of being in God's presence. And when we seek him and we find him and we rest in his presence, then our hearts will find peace. So press into his presence. This is why your personal time with God throughout the week is just as important, if not more so, than when we gather here together for worship as Thrive Church. If you truly want to thrive, it can't just be from Sunday to Sunday. If you truly want to live and have these realities overflowing in your life, it is a daily 24/7 experience of the power and presence of God in your life, like we've been talking about these last few months. That peace is a byproduct of that, something God graciously gives us. It's amazing how many times in my life, just by way of testimony, no circumstances in my life have changed. In fact, sometimes they have gotten worse. Yet God somehow gives me a peace that goes beyond understanding. It doesn't make sense to me. And maybe it doesn't make sense to you. And maybe you have a story like that yourself. As we read this and I said about finding God's presence through prayer, peace is connected to prayer. I want to guarantee you, you will not really find God's presence without prayer. It is one of the most intimate ways to come into God's presence. You can through his word, because it's been given through the Holy Spirit, but we should be prayerfully engaging this word too, not just as a textbook, but a means by which we hear the voice of God in its pages. It is God's word to us, and where we experience his presence. And as we read it prayerfully and respond to him in prayer, and he shows us himself and shows us our need of him, that peace is connected to prayer. Paul said, remember those verses, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do it. He says, pray. This is what you want, peace. You want to experience it. It is found in prayer. And I always think of these words when I think of times in my life or other people that I know where they're going through anxiety. And we all have been there. If we put up hands around the room, all of us have probably at one point been overwhelmed with anxiety. And God's promise in this word is that he says he will guard our hearts and our minds. And I can't help thinking about, sometimes I'll be in a room and if I'm meditating upon this and all the problems that are going on around me and all the issues that I just wish would go away, and I just picture Jesus walking into the room and closing that door and saying, you can't come in here. This is us time. I mean, you may think that's a little weird. I just call it sanctified imagination. And it helps me experience the power and presence of God in my life to know that even if those things come pounding on the door of my heart, that Jesus says, you can't come in here. We can experience peace. And peace is something that we can speak into other people's lives. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says this, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. We can be used of God to speak hope into somebody else's life. That is a powerful privilege. Our words have amazing power. And we may see people all around us weighed down with anxiety. And if the statistics hold true, there's a lot of people around us with anxiety if this is the reality of the prescription rates and all these other things. But it doesn't matter what the prescription rates are. It's a fact of modern life. And I think God would have us be his voice and his mouthpiece among his people, but also to people yet to be a part of his people, to speak hope to them, to speak into their lives, because peace is something people can know. And what an amazing testimony it is of God's presence and his power, that if we as his people can exhibit peace, genuine peace. I'm not talking about denial peace. You guys know what I'm talking about? That kind of peace that just kind of almost just, I don't see anything, Pollyanna, everything's going to be great. Praise Jesus, But genuinely our heart crying out to God that we trust him. Another, as we move on, peace is something we can experience. When he says, may the God of peace, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. We're going to talk about joy now. And I want to tell you that I think joy is something that we cannot live without. It goes kind of, I think all these concepts are intertwined. Hope, joy, peace, they all go together and are knit together and stitched together, if you will, by faith. But joy is something we cannot live without. It is an experience grounded in the heart and activity of God. Just as we come into God's presence and find peace, God also says that is where we find joy. That's where we find joy. 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament 16, verse 23, begins by saying, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nation, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Which, by the way, is what we were just doing a couple minutes ago. And our worship team did such an awesome job leading us into God's presence. So good. I was in the back. To be honest, I kind of broke a sweat a little bit back there. I was worshiping this morning. And it was just awesome to come into God's presence and declare his splendor and to sing and all these other things. And then he says this, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. That means no matter what, when we come into the presence of God, there is peace found in his presence. And no matter what we're facing, moms or any of us, there is strength and there is joy. It is connected. This is what I'm trying to get you to see. It is connected with the very presence of God. Eternal life is walking in fellowship with God, having our sins forgiven by the grace of Christ and what he did for us on the cross. It is life connected and reconnected to God. And so if that's the case, then eternal life means as we grow closer to him, that there will be a greater and increasing exhibition of joy in and through our lives. And its absence in our lives should be a concerning symptom. There are way too many joyless followers of Jesus. Way too many of us, myself included sometimes, so I'll lump myself in. Does that make everybody feel better? Okay. Way too many of us, including myself sometimes, that we're not thriving, we're being crushed by what's going on around us. And it's not to mitigate, or to say that the things aren't huge and even very troubling and difficult and all these other things. But in the midst of that, if we can find God, we can find joy because God's bigger than it all. And sometimes we get crushed under it all thinking these things are bigger than God when in reality they're not. And we look at God through our circumstances rather than looking at our circumstances through the power and presence of God. And all throughout the Old Testament into the New, the psalmist, all of them knew that it was in the presence of God that joy would be found. In the Psalms, in Psalm 43, actually starting in Psalm 42 and 43, they kind of go together. There's this refrain that comes up where he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And he goes on and he starts recounting how he used to go and worship God in joy and go into his presence. And he keeps asking this question, why? And then in chapter 43, verses 3 and 4, he says this, should be on the screen. He says, send me your light and your faithful care. Some translations say, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, which is where the temple was, where he would come into God's presence, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my what? My joy and my delight. That when we learn to come into God's presence and say, God, no matter what is going on around me, happening to me, whatever things are out of my control, God, I come into your presence because above it all, you are my joy. You are my delight. And in your presence, the scriptures say there is fullness of joy. We can experience peace, and joy is something we cannot, I'll dare say, we were never meant to live without. We were meant to live in God's presence. Eternal life is to live in God's presence. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And we need to choose it. In the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, I don't have a reference for this on the screen, guys, but Nehemiah told them as they're going through this ceremony, if you will, of rededication of what God had done in the city of Jerusalem after this period of judgment I just read about. Some of them were sad, and yet Nehemiah said, no, don't be. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so what I would challenge you to do is, why would any of us choose to go through life weekend when God says that the joy of the Lord, the path to his presence has been made clear through Jesus. It's not hidden. It's not prevented from any of us. It's just, I'll just be honest, sometimes I don't always choose it. Do you? Sometimes I don't choose to walk into peace, to choose to walk into joy, but rather I choose to walk in my own strength rather than the Spirit. And Paul prayed, and it's such an obviously Spirit-inspired prayer when he says, may the God of all hope and peace fill you with those things as you overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to experience those things, hope and joy, or peace and joy, and finally hope. When I, a season in the life of this church, I was working in another job, and one of the center directors there, I won't mention his name because some of you may know him, but he was a pretty loud and intense guy. It was a loud and intense place. I mean, the shop itself probably ran at like 100 decibels easily all the time, belts running, packages flying, people screaming, sometimes in pain. No, I'm kidding, okay? But there would become a question, and he would say, Bialy? Why is it people always call me Bialy? I don't know. It was like in high school, I didn't have a first name. Anyway, is this going to be ready on time? Is this going to get done? Or he'd ask that to somebody else, and they'd say, well, I hope so. And all the time, he would answer, hopes for Sunday. What's going to happen right now? And I knew what he was getting at. You know, and I learned to answer him, we're doing everything we can to make that happen, or something like that. But so many times I thought to myself, man, if all you have is hope for Sunday, you're in trouble. And we're in trouble. Hope is not just for Sunday. It is for every day, and it is all too often a diminishing possession that we don't have hope. You look at the world around us, and, you know, again, I want to be really careful here as I say this. I'm not saying anything about the validity of some of these perspectives and opinions that I'm about to put out there. But we have grown up with a generation that has grown up with this sense that the climate is doomed. That the climate is doomed. And I know there's some of you probably in the room who are saying, yeah, it is. Unless we do something, the climate is doomed. And there's probably some of you in the room saying, that's a bunch of bunk. They've been saying that for 30 years. And blah, blah, blah. But in a sense, just to give you an idea, what I'm saying is to give you a sense of how people are lacking hope. That whether they're looking at it from a climate perspective or maybe a political perspective, there is this often this sense of impending disaster looming. Maybe a financial disaster. Maybe a technological disaster. Maybe it's a little more personal, closer to home. It's a family disaster. You look at how things are going at home and you're thinking, how's this going to work? Look at how things are going in your finances, saying, how's this going to work? And hope is a diminishing possession, and it is not just for Sunday. It is meant to be for every day, 24/7, and it is assurance that we can be grounded in every day. Our lives should be characterized by a sense of hope and anticipation, not a sense of impending doom and disaster. Is Jesus king? I mean, is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and is he coming back, and does he love us? And then, of course, we should be people by all measurements filled with hope, not a sense of impending disaster or doom. And again, this isn't Pollyanna. This isn't, you know, a denial of reality that this is a fallen world and bad things happen. But in general, God is, we have that mystery of that, that God is a good God in control, but he allows evil things to happen. Yet through it all, there's the big picture that we should have, big picture-wise and also for our lives, that we can have hope. I want to read to you, you know, some verses here. I'm going to skip to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 26. There's a book you're just drawn to by its name, isn't it? You pick up the Bible, you think, I'm going to read something to encourage me today. Where am I going to go? The book of Lamentations. Sounds, you know, not many of you probably have Lamentations scripture verses on your screensaver or things like that. But again, I mentioned earlier there was this context of the people of God in the Old Testament going into discipline and judgment because of their choices to reject God's ways. And Jeremiah was a prophet at a stage during that, and he wrote the book of Lamentations as well, not just the book named after him. And it's in this time that there are these seeds of hope, that these rays of hope that come out. And I love these verses. We've used these verses, if you remember, we did outreaches in the city over in Hamilton Park called Hope in the City, and we used the verse out of this as our theme verse. And he says this, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. But he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That even in the midst of what felt like and very much seemed like a world falling apart, all the foundations of their lives being pulled out, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. No matter how bad today may seem, God's mercies are new every morning. His compassion, it says, they never fail. His love, because of his great love, he says, we're not consumed. He says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Again, that whole idea of who God is and his presence. That peace and joy and now hope are found as we seek him. And it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Those concepts, again, all coming together, finding their place in God's presence. Jeremiah also wrote those famous verses that we know about. I don't think I have this on the screen, but he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Hope is something that we need to be grounded in. It needs to be the reality of our lives, that we of all people who follow Jesus, as I said earlier, our lives should not be characterized by a sense of impending disaster or impending doom, but of anticipation and of hope and of victory and of peace and of joy. Hope is realized. All these things are realized by faith in God and who he is, not in what is going on around us. All of these things are realized by faith in God, not by circumstances and what is going on around us. I said that twice for a reason, because we know maybe, if you haven't heard this before, but there's a scripture that says, you know, that we live by faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight, yet too often we can become focused on what is going on around us, whether you're a mom And it's been a chaotic day or a chaotic month or a chaotic year or lifetime. Or whether you're walking through a circumstance as a couple or as a student or whatever the case may be. Faith, hope, love, joy, all these things are found in God's presence and by his power, by faith. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11 it says this, faith is confidence, the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. That there's this calm confidence and assurance, not in what's going on around us, but in the God that we cannot see. Trusting that he is at work around us. Trusting that he is good. Trusting that he is in control. And finding this supernatural transformation that comes when we come into his presence and just rest there. And find peace and hope and joy. God says his hope should be like an anchor for us. And when we came to the beginning of this message and we talked about how anxiety is an all too common reality among us, that peace is a diminishing possession, as is hope. All of those things, he says, God's presence, God's hope should be an anchor for our soul. And in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, God did this, it says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Those two things are God's promise and God's oath. God swore to Abraham something and he believed him, and it says that we should look at that and see and take hold of the hope set before us in Christ and be greatly encouraged. He says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That no matter what is going on in life, we are to be anchored to the power and presence of God, and in that find hope and peace and joy, firm and secure. Notice what it says. It says it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What is that? That's where the power and presence of God resided in the religious life of Israel. And so as I prepared for this morning, yeah, I was thinking of moms, but I was thinking of all of us. And I thought as we come to this, I wonder how many of us around the room are struggling to find that hope and are struggling to find that peace, struggling to find joy. I know I have at times. If we're honest around the room, and sometimes we're not always honest at church, ironically, aren't we? We put on the best face and we smile and all this stuff, but let's be real. That's one of our values as a church. We struggle with that. Circumstances weigh on us, whatever. And I guess I just wanted to conclude this as Paul started it, as I've used that passage in Paul, and let it be a prayer and a benediction over me, over you, over our church, over our moms, especially this morning. And so here's what I'm going to do. Our team's going to come on out here, and they're going to be leading us in worship in a couple more songs. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like all of us just to stand this morning. And here's your chance to stretch your legs and be ready to sing, you know, and everything before we continue. But right now, I just want you to close your eyes. In whatever way is appropriate for you, I want you to use that sanctified imagination I talked about earlier. And envision Jesus himself here among us, because he's here by his Spirit. And as you think of him and all he's done for you, his great love for you, demonstrated in going to the cross for you, for your sins and for mine. A heart full of gratitude that it's simply by faith that we receive this offer of amnesty for our sins, to return to him, our Maker. And in light of all that and all he's done, with all that we face in life and how easy it is for our lives to get off center and our eyes to come off of Jesus, to all of a sudden be overwhelmed rather than be overcomers, to be barely surviving rather than thriving. Hear these words that God, through his Spirit, gave the Apostle Paul. May the God of hope fill you. Just think about that for a second. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we honor and worship you now. And as we've come into your presence in this moment in a special way, seeking you, God, may you fill us with hope and joy and peace in your presence. May our lives as individuals and as a church be marked by your fullness, Lord Jesus, by the fullness of your life. May you give us and bestow these things upon us and in our hearts and in our minds by your grace and through the power of your Spirit as we come boldly into your presence, not on the basis of what we have done, but through what you have done for us. We come in the name of Jesus based on his death for us on the cross, in faith, accepting it, God, we thank you that you will, that we can count on you, that you are faithful to your word, that what you have promised you will fulfill. And so, God, this morning, thank you that peace is something we can experience and not just long for. Thank you that life was meant to be filled with joy, even as we face struggles, that life is meant to be filled with joy. Is meant to be filled with you. And that hope is something that we can have as an assurance every day. Not just a hope so, but lives filled with hope based on who you are. So Father, as we continue in worship, please draw us deeper into your presence now. Let us not just think of these as songs to be sung, but as opportunities to enter into your presence. And there have you kindle these three things we've talked about this morning in our hearts: hope, peace, joy. Thank you, God, for what you're doing now. And God, a very, very, again, special thank you for moms who do so much and often are thanked so little. God, may these realities be very true for them in a special way on this special day. It's in your name that we pray.